Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. These tremendous words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, words of comfort for us this day. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And our subject this morning is the untroubled heart. The untroubled heart. Well, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I have mentioned. And well, the message is very clear. The message is very plain. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, who is he speaking to at this time? Just to give some context, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. And well, of course, the Lord knows that the hearts of the disciples, they are troubled at this time. The hearts of the disciples, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the hearts of all men. He can read the hearts of any man. He can see even the secrets of the heart of a man. And well, he can see the state of the hearts of the disciples, and they are troubled. Why were their hearts troubled? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has just said, he has just told them that he is going to leave them. This is the eve, the night before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the night before the Lord dies. And of course, the Lord knows this. He knows all things. He knows that he will be hung up on a cross in just a matter of hours. And he has told them this at the end of chapter 13. For example, in chapter 13, verse 33, he says to the disciples, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. I will not be with you for much longer. Yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come." Where the Lord Jesus Christ is going, the disciples cannot come. He will leave the disciples. The Lord is going to the cross. Of course, the disciples cannot join him on the cross. This is something that the Lord must take upon himself. And so he will leave the disciples just for a little while. Yet a little while I am with you. And then he will leave them. And the disciples, of course, well, when they hear this, they are very troubled. This was not, after all, what the disciples had expected. This was not what they had hoped for. This was not in their thinking at all, the disciples. The disciples knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Yes, of course, they knew that. But they had slightly different thinking about what the Messiah would do. They thought that the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, would come into the world and he would establish an earthly kingdom, an earthly reign. The Messiah would be almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was almighty. But they thought that he would establish an earthly kingdom. He would overcome the Roman Empire. He would make Israel the forefront nation of the world. And well, the Lord Jesus Christ would reign over all things, an earthly kingdom. The disciples would be with him, half of the disciples on one side of him, half of the disciples on the other side of him. They would reign in this glorious earthly kingdom. Christ would be king forever and ever and ever, and all nations would be subject to them, and so on. That was their thinking. But not this, not that the Lord Jesus Christ would leave them, that he would be betrayed, that he would be arrested and scourged and mocked, that he would hang on a cross. This wasn't part of the plan. And so, well, they are dismayed. Their hearts are troubled. This was not what they had expected at all. And well, we can make the application already. This is how many people feel at the present time, at the present time of this coronavirus. This wasn't in people's thinking or planning. This wasn't supposed to happen. This was never part of the script. Perhaps many of us had big hopes for this year, big hopes for 2020. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to go on a big holiday this year. We're going to travel the world. We're going to see all the sights. So much to look forward to this year. We were going to enjoy the Olympics. We were going to enjoy the big football tournament that would have taken place this summer, Euro 2020. So much to look forward to. And yet what has happened? Something has come in and all our hopes are dashed entirely. This wasn't part of the script. We think of young people, particularly at this time. Well, young people, thankfully, are not unduly affected, it seems, by this coronavirus, but their lives have been completely changed. Young people who had such great hopes, we're going to take our exams. I'm going to pass with flying colors, hopefully. I'm going to go to university. I'm going to say goodbye to my home life, to my parents. Oh, uni is waiting at the end of this year. They had all their plans worked out, but now that's all gone. And their hearts are troubled. It's like these disciples. They had one expectation, one great expectation, but now it's been taken away from them. So we can empathize with these disciples. And of course, the disciples are fearful. They are troubled. They are fearful. There is great uncertainty. If the Lord Jesus Christ leaves them, if he goes, if he dies on the cross, well, what will happen to us? What will happen to us? Will we be hunted down? Will we die also? There was great fear amongst the disciples. And well, again, we see, sadly, so much fear at the present time. Where there is uncertainty, there is fear. People don't know how long this virus is going to be around. How long is this lockdown going to last? How long will our finances hold out? How long will we be able to hold on to our jobs? How long will our food last? We don't know if anybody will be affected by this virus, if anybody we know will die even, our loved ones. So there is great uncertainty and there is great fear, just like these disciples. And so the state of the disciples is not unlike our state, which we are going through at the present time. But look what the Lord says. Let not your heart be troubled. We are all troubled at this time. Of course we are. But what does the Lord say? Let not your heart be troubled. And I've said it many times in our services at East Dulwich Tabernacle. This is the most often repeated sentiment in the Word of God. Not the most often repeated words, it's put in different words, but the most often repeated sentiment in the Word of God is fear not, do not be afraid, let not your heart be troubled. This is at the heart of the Scriptures. This is at the heart of the Gospel. This is what God wants. God wants to remove our fear from us through the Gospel message. This is what he is calling us to banish all of our fears through the gospel message. Let not your heart be troubled. This is what God wants. But then the Lord Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. This is the key to overcoming fear in our lives. Ye believe in God. Well, that's the start. The key to overcoming fear in our lives, we believe in God. This removes so much of our fear. We believe the God who is real, who is true, who is living, the God who is almighty, the God who is ruling on high. We considered this last week. The God who is sovereign, the God who is in control. When we believe in God, that takes away so much of our fear. The unbelieving world, well, this is why the world is so fearful. It doesn't believe in God. It doesn't believe that somebody is in control. It believes that everything's out of control. Everything is utterly out of control. And therefore, people are so fearful. People are struggling. So many are panicking. This is why we are seeing in the supermarkets all this great stockpiling, the shelves absolutely stripped bare, because people don't believe that there's a God who provides for our every need. They don't believe in a God who has promised to give us our daily bread. That's how we are to pray. They don't believe in that. Oh no, we've got to take everything off the shelves. There's no God. They don't believe in God. So when you don't believe in God, well, what's left? There's only abject fear. They don't believe in the God who provides for us. We believe in God. I often point people to Psalm 121 and verses 1 and 2. This is great comfort for believers. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Our help. If you believe in God, you know that your help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. But people who don't believe in God, well, they're helpless. They can't call on the Lord. They can't call on anyone at this present time. So that's how it starts. In order to overcome fear, ye believe in God, believe also in me, says the Lord Jesus. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, this is one of the many occasions in the Gospel of John where the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ is affirmed. The divinity of Christ. This is one of the great messages of this whole Gospel. This Gospel explains to us, makes very clear to us, that Christ, well, he's not just a holy man. He's not just a simple prophet. He's not just from God. He is God. He is God, the eternal, everlasting Son of God. He is equal with God. And this is a great doctrine that must be upheld. Why, even in this chapter 14, he explains this. If you look at verse 8 of chapter 14, one of the disciples says to the Lord, Lord, show us the Father, show us God, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. And look at what the Lord says to him in verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Christ is God. Where does the Lord Jesus Christ say that he is God? Well, you can point to many passages in the Gospel of John. This is one of them. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? God himself is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very, very clear in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus puts himself on that equal footing with God. He is equal with God. So he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And may I remind you, as I do so often, if you're a regular to our services, you cannot truly know God the Father if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this means. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You can know about God without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know about God, about the Bible. You can know about religious things. You can even do religious things. But you will never be able to know God himself, to know God in that personal way, to know the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. You will never really have that personal relationship with God if you do not come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, again, I point you to later on in this chapter, verse 6 of John chapter 14, very famous words. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can know God, not through any other religion. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, I am a way. I am one of many ways. No, he says, I am the way. the only way to God. And so it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can know God the Father. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But we must continue. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Well, tremendous words. In my Father's house. Well, what is that, my Father's house? Well, it's very simple. Where does God dwell? In heaven. This is speaking about heavenly places, where we go after this life, after this world. In my Father's house, in heaven, are many mansions, are many resting places, are many rooms. Heaven, well, it is open. It is open to those who desire to be there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not lying. God cannot lie. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot lie. I go to prepare a place for you. And then verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, dear friends, time is running on. There is so much we could say about those words, but we have to draw out that which is important. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's enough for us to focus on this morning. I will come again. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, he would suffer. He would go to the cross. He would die on the cross. He would be laid in the tomb, but he would rise again. Of course, we know this. He rose again from the dead, and he would not only rise from the dead, but he would ascend up into heaven. He would go up into heaven. And these same disciples, we read in the book of Acts, these same disciples, well, they see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ ascending up into heaven. They see him going up and disappearing into heaven. And when they see him go up into heaven, there are two angels who appear to the disciples, and they say to the disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, as you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ going up into heaven, don't you know that you're going to see him come again? That you're going to see him return from heaven in the glory of the Father with the holy angels? Do you not know? He's not disappearing out of sight forever. He is going to come back. Dear friends, do you believe this? Many of us, I'm sure all of us here, we all believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, that he was born in Bethlehem and so on, that he lived on earth. But do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again? He is going to return. And this time every eye shall see him, not just the disciples, every eye shall see him. All the living, all the dead, even the dead shall be raised. And every eye shall see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back from heaven. I will come again. The Lord does not lie to us. And so, well, my exhortation to you is, how is it going to be for you on that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? You know, when people hear about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, many people, well, their hearts are troubled. Their hearts are troubled. When they hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, they're fearful. Their hearts are troubled. Why are they fearful? Well, because so many people know and understand, well, they know that they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. They haven't loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe people have spoken to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've rejected him. They don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to live a Christian life. That's too strict. That's too harsh. So they've rejected him. They've rebelled against God's word. So when they hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, they get very troubled in their hearts. People get troubled because of their sin. You know, I've said it this many times, and I say it again, but the things that trouble us the most in our hearts, the things that trouble us the most, they're not really the things that other people have done to us. It's the things that we've done. We've done to other people, our sins, the times we've been angry, the times we've been selfish, the times we've been greedy, the times we've hurt other people. Those are the things that trouble us the most, trouble the heart, trouble the conscience. And remember, all our sins are going to be open before the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to judge the world. So no wonder our hearts are troubled, so many of us, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. But dear friends, I point you to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, because there is a way. There is a way of forgiveness. There is a way of mercy. There is a way that we can be washed and cleansed of all our sin. There is a way in which we can look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We don't need to fear it. Every Christian, well, we don't fear the Lord coming back. We don't fear the Lord's return. Is it because we're good people? Is it because we're wonderful people and God will be pleased with us? No. It's not because we're good people. It's because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he took upon himself the punishment for our sin. That's why we can look forward to that day when he comes again. We are sinners, yes, but Christ, when he died on the cross, he took upon himself the punishment for our sin. We trust that when he was on the cross, he died for us. So therefore, we can look forward to his coming again. We can look forward to it. Christ will appear, and we can look forward to his appearing. There is no fear. There is no fear of condemnation for our sin, because Christ was condemned in our place. Dear friends, if your heart is troubled at the prospect of Christ coming again, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that when he died, it was for you. It was for you, dear friends. Let not your heart be troubled. And these are tremendous words. And well, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the promise. This is the promise to you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is what gives a Christian comfort and peace. You know, a Christian finds peace not by focusing on this life, on this world here on earth. A Christian finds peace by focusing on what is to come, on that eternity which is to come, when Christ shall come again and we shall be with him. That is where our peace is. That is how we can overcome everything that happens in this world, all the trials, all the difficulties, all the grief, all the sorrow, this coronavirus, all the difficulties. How do we overcome the difficulties of this world? By focusing on the eternal glory that is to come. That is how we cope. That is how we overcome. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I'm sure you know these words, many of you, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's how we are. The sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall have in eternity. Fix your sights on eternity, when Christ shall come again and take us up to be with him. And dear friends, we will spend forever in my Father's house, said the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought, in my Father's house. Well, we've all been cooped up in our own houses for the best part of a week, all week. And how fed up most of us have been, even with the internet, even with all our modern conveniences. How fed up have we been, even in our own houses? We want to get out. We want to get outside. But you know, that won't be the case in our Father's house. That won't be the case in our Father's house. We won't ever want to leave our Father's house. It's glorious in our Father's house. There is eternal peace. There is eternal joy. It's a place where no plague enters, no sickness of any kind. It's a place where God wipes away all our tears. There are no tears in our Father's house. You can never get bored in your Father's house. You'll never get bored of God. He is the eternal God. He is infinite. You can never exhaust all the wonders, all the glory of God. And this glory will be revealed to us forevermore. We are bored stiff in our own houses, but dear friends, in our Father's house, we will never ever want to leave. And you never will, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, dear friends, our time is out, but this is the message. Let not your heart be troubled, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Christ is the only way to God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Dear friends, believe in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is preparing a place for you, because you believe that he loved you and that he gave himself for you. May the Lord mightily bless these glorious words to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, how we thank thee and praise thee that there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is such a glorious gospel if we trust in him. Oh dear Lord, bless these words to us, those words that we have heard this morning. May we understand them, may we respond to them in the right way, through repentance, through faith, true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, bless us all and keep us. Keep us safe. Save us, dear Lord, to the uttermost. We trust in thee and we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.